6. Our text will be verse 33, but I'd like to read the entire paragraph beginning at verse 25. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 25, the Word of God. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? The Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is the word of the living God. Our subject is the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, which is considered in Lord's Day 50 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which I'd like to read for you at this time. Which is the fourth petition, the question? The answer, give us this day our daily bread. This is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in thee alone. As the Heidelberg Catechism directs our thoughts to the petition, give us this day our daily bread, I would remind you that it falls in a specific order, as we have been learning in our study of the Lord's Prayer. First and foremost comes the petition, hallowed be not be thy name, in the Lord's Prayer. That petition is that God and God alone would be first, be honored above all. And if that is the case, and we seek his glory above all things, then we will next petition for the building of his kingdom, because that is how God's glory is advanced. And then thirdly, we will submit to and seek to do the will of God. Now, you cannot honor God, you cannot build his kingdom and do his will, those first three petitions, unless you have what is necessary to keep physical life going. For the scripture says, the dead do not praise God, that is, in their bodies. So we need bread. Bread or whatever is necessary for everyday existence. And this petition directs us to seek that which is necessary for our everyday existence from God, so that we might use it for the end that his name is glorified, his kingdom is built, and his will is done. And so if we look at the prayer in this fashion, this petition, give us this day our daily bread, it becomes really a spiritual matter, not just looking for something for our physical sustenance. You want daily bread, not just because you are hungry, but that you may live, and in order that you may live and praise the living God. That's why prayer for daily bread stands at this particular point in the Lord's Prayer. Now, the usual reason that we eat is obvious. We're hungry. But the Bible's answer to the question, why do we eat, is so that we can live and serve God. And that's why this petition, give us this day our daily bread, follows the honoring of God's name, the building of his kingdom, and the doing of his will. Daily bread is to enable us to live to serve God. We eat bread to serve God. That's why there's this sequence in the Lord's Prayer. Daily bread is then always secondary to honoring God, advancing his kingdom, and doing his will. Those are ultimately of greater importance. When we talk about daily bread, we're really talking about existing and living. Without it, you simply don't live. It's a necessity by the design and the plan of God. And the fact is that the subordination of this petition for daily bread to the first three makes it plain that while you must always honor the name of God, you must always honor the name of God, you don't have to live. Whereas you must always, and you must always, seek to advance and to build the kingdom of God and to do his will, you do not have to live. That principle explains the subject of martyrdom for the sake of the Lord Jesus. For apart from this principle, there is no such thing as being a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. A martyr is a person who has come to the conclusion on the basis of the reasoning of Scripture and the teaching of Scripture that although he doesn't have to live, he must serve God. He must honor the name of his God and confess the name of Jesus Christ before men, but he does not have to remain alive. He may even die for Jesus, and if it comes down to the choice, he will die for Jesus rather than bring dishonor to the name of God. That's really a definition of martyrdom if you look at it in terms of what this petition says. And bread then is appropriate in your hand and on the table and in your mouth only when you have that bread fully consistently with the honoring of the name of Jesus, the building of his kingdom, the doing of his will. Those things must come first. And if it is necessary for you to have daily bread to somehow compromise the word of God, to disobey the will of God, and the integrity of your gospel confession, and doing that which God has commanded in his word, then choose God over bread and over everything else. The scripture tells us that there is a time coming, which many believe Revelation 13 teaches, when it speaks of those who will be asked to subscribe to the reigning, ruling Antichrist, and if you do not compromise with that world power, you will not even be able to buy bread. And believer in Jesus Christ, you cannot buy bread at the expense of betraying Jesus Christ. The issue is whether you will be faithful to serve Jesus. And if that's the issue, choose to serve Jesus and have eternal life over a life that turns its back on Jesus, betrays him, and dishonors him by doing the will of the Antichrist. That's why we sang earlier in the great hymn of Martin Luther those last words of the last stanza. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. So the Lord's Prayer is not just something we mumble by memory. We say as a group of believers because we think it's the right thing to do. It is a prayer that ultimately submits us to the will of God. Now let's observe the things that we must believe and that we must affirm in order to pray this prayer rightly. When we say, give us this day our daily bread. First, you must believe that God is the proprietor of all things. That God has committed himself as the proprietor of all things, the one who rules the world, to supply all mankind with its needs. That it is God who sustains this world. And that God is the God who will supply and will continue to supply all that men and this world needs for its existence. Our God is this faithful God. Turn quickly with me to the 104th Psalm, where the psalmist speaks of this so clearly. I'd like to read several verses out of Psalm 104. So let's turn to that passage. Psalm 104, looking first at verse 21, read there with me where it says, "The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God." Notice that the psalmist says that the lion, although he's got a big mighty roar, seeks his food from God. It's a poetic way of simply saying God is the one who supplies our needs. He opens his hands and he satisfies the desire of every living thing. Look further at verses 27 and 28. "These all look to you to give them their due food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open their your hand, they are filled with good things." You see, it's God who opens his hand. It's God who supplies our needs. It's God who satisfies the desire of every living thing. And that's why in verse 27 and 28, the psalmist is telling us that men and animals wait upon the Lord. So it's appropriate for us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," because the character and the nature of God to whom this petition is made is that of the one who supplies all things. He is the God upon whom you may depend to satisfy you for that which is necessary to sustain life, so that you may live for the glory of God. Now that's a truth that's widely denied in our day. First of all, when you talk about God supplying our needs, even people in the church who say the Lord's Prayer each Lord's Day, and some who would in horror recoil if that prayer was not included in the service somehow, they would be miffed or mad, are those who say it's not really practical. It's not really practical to talk about depending on God in this way. There are actually a whole lot of things that you have to do. If you mean by that that you depend on somebody else rather than God, that's unbiblical. The fact is that the truth that we are totally dependent upon God is flatly denied and often ignored by people. For most persons, the supply of daily bread is the result of a transaction in which a person drops a certain amount of sweat or brain power for so many dollars that are given to him in a transaction with some employer or someone who needs goods and services that he is able to provide. And then that man stands back and he says, "Look at what I have done, look at what I have earned." Or perhaps he looks at what he has stockpiled in his reservoir of resources, or whether it's his bank account, or whether it's a closet that's filled with cans of goods to eat. He does not look at dependence upon God for everything. Rather, he looks to himself. It sounds terribly self-sufficient, and that's the trouble. It's self-sufficiency, the way of the humanist. But the trouble is, when the humanist gets himself into a bit of trouble, he will immediately run squealing to the only God he knows, and it's not the God of Scripture, it's the power of government to get him out of trouble. The humanist wants nothing to do and does not want to hear about trusting in God. So the humanist's answer to problems is to put pressure on the employer to make better wages, to increase his wages. We hear about that in the news a lot lately, where there are struggles going on, demands for higher minimum wages. Then there's always the appeal to government to force the employer to do something. Man's always looking to someone. And the humanist always winds up looking to either a labor union or the government or some power with clout or numbers in the throne that belongs to the living God. Over against that position of the humanist is the position of a believer in Jesus Christ, which is this, that a man works each day so that he can serve God. He looks to the God who says from his hand he satisfies us with every good thing. The believer trusts the God that reveals himself in Scripture as the God and Father of those who are in Jesus Christ, whose needs he will supply by his sovereign grace. And even in trouble, that person who is right with God through Jesus Christ comes in prayer and addresses the true and the living God, and he's going to a source that can make a real difference. Not the government, but the God who opens his hand and supplies every living thing by the sovereignty of his grace. We've seen it over and over. God miraculously, powerfully, gloriously provides, and he delivers. So that's what we must first of all observe, that God is the proprietor of all things. And then secondly, let's look at the relationship between work and bread that's in this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. God commands, of course, that we work. It's plain in Scripture from the very beginning that we don't work merely for the employer, we work for God. For God spoke to Adam in the garden, and he said, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." Work was commanded. Man is supposed to work. It is moral to work. Not to do so is plainly immoral and sinful. We are supposed to work. We are supposed to work for God and to expect all good things from his hand. That means then that we give ourselves to God and the full measure of our energy so that we can expect all from his hand. In very practical terms, that means that when we work for our employer, we're really working for God. That means when we work for our employer, we give our employer the full measure of what is due to our employer, because we're working really for God, and we're not going to cheat God because he sees us and he knows us. We're not going to therefore cheat our employer. If you're not operating that way, if you're working for yourself, then you simply better stop using the Lord's Prayer, and you'd better start praying to the company, to the government, to the strength of your own muscles, the power of your own mind, or some other source rather than God, because you're not working for God unless you're working to the glory of his name. I think that's why Martin Luther said that all professions, all callings or vocations as they were called at that time, are under God honorable. And so he said that the ditch digger who was working at digging ditches was digging those ditches to the glory of God. That was just as important as the man behind the pulpit, Luther himself, preaching the message of the Word of God. You see, work is honorable, work is right, work is moral when it is done for the glory of God. And it follows then that prosperity is the blessing of God upon obedience to his moral law. And the lack of prosperity is the curse of God upon disobedience. The prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," is to be prayed by an obedient man or an obedient woman who believe in working for God and expecting then from God all good things. Someone would say then, well, what about the person who's not able to work? He's incapable. That person prays this prayer as well. And after all, God knows what that individual's situation is and his need is. And David said, "I have been young and now I'm old, and I have not yet seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." God knows. God, through the mercies of his powerful grace and through the work of his people in the church, can bless even those who cannot work and those who live in obedience to his word and submit in faith to this prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." A man can use up all that he's got, and if he does that, he can still cry out to God, the God who has all the resources at his disposal, and the Lord will supply his needs. God does that because he supplies the needs of those that wait upon him. Psalm 145 says in verse 15, "The eyes of all wait upon thee. Thou givest them their need." Psalm 34:10 says, "They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Beloved in the Lord, that's the promise of God. Those are the promises of his word. This is not something that's made up. God himself has encased in his holy, infallible, rock of Scripture these promises for us, and he says he will supply our needs. Psalm 127, 3 through 5 says that God will see to it that our needs are supplied. But yet there are those who would say, God helps those who help themselves. It's a lie. That comes from the devil. God provides for those who call upon him in truth, those who call upon him in faith. So serve God and obey him, and you can call on him. And there's not too much that you can ask him. How can you ask God too much? God is the God who is infinite in glory and being. His resources are without number, and he has committed himself to our needs, and he said he will supply them and he will bless us. Now, a word has to be said now in regards to some of the propaganda that we hear today about the world in which we live, because there's this great concern about the ecological condition of this planet Earth that some have referred to in different ways, but have put forth the idea that this world and our existence in it depends on us, depends on how sparingly we use our resources and how cleverly we then in turn use our waste so that we preserve that which is there, because of course there will be too many to feed and all of the other things. It's another lie. It comes from the evil one himself. The truth is that God himself is the proprietor of planet Earth. God himself will see to it that this earth that he has created by his sovereign word will put forth and supply the needs of every living thing upon it until the day comes when this earth's usefulness comes to an end, and in that day this earth will be completely renewed and will live in it for all eternity. No more ecological problems, because the earth will then, as it does now, belong to the infinite God of Scripture, whose miraculous power and supply knows no end. We have brains that are simply too small to comprehend the glory of the being of God, who is the God who has promised that he will care for us. But he's given us those promises in his word. He has told us that we are put here on this earth, and this earth is put here for us to use for his glory. Why do you think Adam was given dominion over creation in the Garden of Eden? Why do you think that he was given the ability to rule over the animals and to use them for food and to be using all that existed? It was because God put this earth here for us to use to advance the glory of God. And this earth will last, and it will be sufficient until the day comes when Jesus comes and makes all things new. Now, that doesn't mean that we should be wasteful and sinful, but it simply means that these radical ecological claims are false. And the reason they're false is because this kind of talk is promoted by people who simply don't believe the Bible. They don't know the God who has made this promise to this earth and to us, his people. And all this talk is fostered by those who have an evil ulterior motive. The fact is, if this earth is all alone in the universe with no place to go, then this race of men living here have to turn to something else or somebody with almighty power to do something about the way we're using things up and burning up all of the things and the resources that are ours, and always waiting in the wings of the drama that's created by those who do not believe in God as a substitute God. And there he is in our day, all-powerful government, able to take care of the needs of all men and incidentally to rule them absolutely with the power of Antichrist. We've gone through so much in recent years and in decades past. I can think just back to the few years ago in which in the 60s We had a war on poverty. You remember that terminology. We've lost the war. There was another thing that came in, and another thing the government has done. And every time the government has come up with something as a resolution or a solution to the problem, what have they done but created a greater problem? Our answer is not in the government. Our answer is the God who opens his hand to supply all good things. When you pray, give us this day our daily bread, you believe that God supplies the daily needs of mankind in his greatest and sovereign providence. God can do anything, even the desires of your heart. Psalm 34. The Lord is able to supply all good things because the world depends not on government. It depends upon him. He made it. And in his remarkable sovereignty, he goes way beyond daily bread. You know that from your own testimony and the experience of your own life. He has given to many of us, to most of us, the very desires of our heart, that we may know his blessing. And we ought to depend upon the hands of this Almighty God, whose hand does, will do, and is willing to meet every need that we bring to him. For his hand is almighty. He is the Lord. And of course, to pray, give us this day our daily bread, presupposes that a person knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'll say it again. This prayer is not a prayer that's prayed in the marketplace by unbelievers and crowds of people who happen to know it by rote memory as though it were some pious thing to say. It's to be prayed in faith, a faith that rests in Jesus, a faith that knows the Savior and has humbled itself before him and come to him so that we know we're right with God. And unless we're right with God, you'll never really believe this prayer and this petition. We can only talk about what God has promised to do, but unless the blood of Jesus has washed away our sins and reconciled us with God, we'll never really depend on him to do what he was said, what he has said. You can talk about asking God, but you'll really never ask unless you're persuaded deep down in your heart that this same God, before you even ever ask him, sent his only begotten Son into this world, not just to supply you with bread, but to die for your sins, to wash you and cleanse you from sin, and to give you this gift of eternal life through salvation full and free. He who spared not his own Son, does the Scripture not indeed go further and say, how then shall he not also give you all good things? That's the foundation upon which we pray. Give us this day our daily bread. That's the prayer of a Christian washed in the blood of Jesus, who delights in praying this prayer. And we promise the Lord some things when we pray this prayer. It's really important that when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, that we are willing to put our trust and our confidence in God to do this. That's why the petition says, give us our daily bread. Not what we need for tomorrow, next month, and next year. And the only thing that you can count on, that you can pray the same way tomorrow that you prayed today. Give us our daily bread. And the day after, you can pray that same prayer. And your confidence for tomorrow is not what you have amassed today. That is, it's in the fact that Jesus will be the same tomorrow as he is today. That's how it was in the wilderness with the people of Israel. Do you remember when God supplied them their daily bread in the form of manna? It lasted a day. And when they tried to lay up enough for another day other than the Sabbath day, it rotted and it stank and it corrupted. And God told them in so many words, this is how I operate. You ask me and I give it to you. But when you substitute your stockpile for trusting in me, then your stockpile of manna is going to turn rotten and stink. That's God's procedure. Daily bread. And you're going to only be able to pray that if you're willing to have it that way, God's way. And prayer is then not a constant argument with God, but it's asking and receiving. Don't let your prayers devolve into an argument with God. Let it be asking him for what he's already promised, a supplication based upon his written and infallible word, so that the glorious hand of God may be outstretched toward you and give you that which he has for you in Jesus Christ. Now, one other thing we ought to mention that's going to immediately be brought up in our minds, perhaps in the minds of some, the matter of means. People will say, well, couldn't the means that God uses to supply our daily needs, couldn't it be the money that we have in the bank? After all, I go to the store, I write a check. Well, could it be that it's the stockpile of food that I have from my garden? After all, I did all that canning. Or perhaps I have canned goods in the pantry, and that's God's way and God's blessing, my job that he has provided for me so that I can earn money and that I can pay the bills. Well, that's entirely possible, but Scripture says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, lay up treasures in heaven. The dangerous thing about laying up treasures on earth is that where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And you start depending on the treasure instead of depending on God. You start depending on the checkbook, the stockpile, the pantry. And treasures laid up on earth seduce the heart. The means that God uses are the means of believing God for daily bread. So consequently, God's people ought to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what's the promise that follows that? All these things will be added unto you. It follows the Lord's Prayer. God, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's seeking first the kingdom of God. And then God says, I'll supply your needs by this means. Ask me, and I'll pour out my blessing upon you for daily bread. And remember, when you pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're saying our daily bread. We're praying in fellowship with God's people. And among the people of God are those who have a responsibility to share their bread with a lavish hand. And the generous ones are the ones that have a heart for the ones that are near them, who share with others, who live the prayer, give us this day our daily bread, trusting Jesus that there will always, always, always be enough. And beloved in the Lord, there will always be enough for the work of the church, to do the will of God, to honor the glory of God, if we do that which God has given us in Christ and pray in faith, give us this day our daily bread. Let us rest confidently in the promises of his word that he will supply all of our needs until our needs are no longer needs and he takes us home where our needs will be no more in the glory of his presence for all eternity. Amen.